6:18, we will call this meeting to order for our budget workshop, public hearing special meeting for Thursday, July 30th, 2020. Will everybody please rise for the invocation and pledge of allegiance? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing everyone to be here this evening. We ask that you comfort those who have lost loved ones. Please heal those who are sick. Please keep our employees and residents safe. Please watch over our military and guide our meeting this evening. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our City Secretary please call the roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant? Councilmember Lehman?
Here.
Councilmember Salazar?
Here.
Councilmember Akadaka?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge? My understanding she's on her way.
Yes, ma'am, she's on her way.
Mayor Pierce?
Here.
We have a quorum.
All right, we will move to item 5, citizens participation. We have 4 individuals signed up this evening. The first one is Deborah McMillan regarding installation of speed bumps.
Good evening. I agree the speed bumps are a useful tool and may be warranted in certain areas of the city for safety reasons. As discussions have previously occurred regarding speed bumps being placed on city streets, has any research been done on procedures that surrounding cities may have implemented in regards to this process? I have received a copy of Converse's procedures, and it's interesting on the criteria there that one of them is that 2/3 of the residents that live on that street have to support the installation of a speed bump. My question is, has a survey been sent to residents of Kirby who live on streets with proposed speed bumps? Considerations should include the noise level being generated by the acceleration and deceleration of vehicles as they're approaching the speed bumps. How many will be required to effectively control the traffic? And the average cost of each to install? And if there are any alternatives which may be more cost effective that can be executed. In order to avoid any misperceptions by the residents as to why speed bumps may have been placed only on some designated streets, communication with other governing entities may help to answer their queries. And if you'd like, I can give a copy of Converse's to the City Secretary if you'd like to look at it.
That's fine. Please do. Thank you. All right, the next individual is Chris Garza regarding police vehicles and asphalt.
Good afternoon, Council. I'm coming today to discuss a budget item, or a few items that actually are on the proposed budget, and it accounts for 2 police vehicles. And my idea on this is that one of the biggest complaints that I've seen from residents is the purchase of new vehicles for the police. So there's constantly an idea that we continually buy new vehicles for the police, but that our roads are still in disrepair. I believe that it'd be useful if we decided to take a portion of that money, if we could skip on getting them vehicles immediately and put it towards asphalt for a new asphalt truck in order to make speed, to fill in those the potholes. And if we were to do stuff like that, then we would see our streets to start getting better. And if they were to get better like this, then we wouldn't need to buy new police vehicles all the time anyway. So I just think it would be something useful to think about. And I think it'd be something that the community would like to see. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's let that fumigation. Roger Romans. All right. Request for budget amendment clarification.
To prevent misinterpretation, I request clarification to a budget amendment issue previously brought up. The explanation provided caused more questions than answers. Specifically, the amended water budget increased expenditure of $10,000 in capital outlays for the fence at the public works yard. This current year's budget had an initial $19,000 approved capital outlay expense for this fence. The budgetary amendment of an additional $10,000, as discussed by this council, was for straightening a fence, and then staff later explained that this was to increase an existing contract. How many additional linear feet of fence did this expenditure purchase? If none, then why was this additional cost overrun of more than 50% increase authorized? 10% or less is understandable, but an increase of over 50% to a capital outlay is somewhat outrageous. A well-explained clarification would be appreciated and will alleviate any misinterpretation or misperceptions by the taxpayer. Thank you.
Thank you. Jerry, you still with us?
Still here.
All right. Our next resident signed up to speak is Mr. Shaw regarding police vehicles.
I just want to say real briefly, the issuing or approval or the request of the police vehicles, I think it is the utmost importance that we have. I've been here for 20 years, and I was going through a divorce when I moved here, and I called them, and I've never seen a police department in all my life get there that fast. I've never seen it. I would like to run a poll and see in our area communities, who is the fastest resolving police department? I think Kirby's right up there in the number one slot. And I went down Ackerman Road yesterday with my wife. I started laughing. She said, what the hell are you laughing at? I said, honey, if Buzz Aldrin had the bumps that Ackerman has, we wouldn't need a speed bump. It would automatically make him slow down. And if they didn't slow down, they're gonna ruin their cars. And whose fault is that? It's not the street. It's their stupidity. It's their ignorance. Trying to rush from one point to the other point. If you don't make it to that second point, for some reason, it's not gonna matter because you're not gonna be there. And if they don't have the police vehicles to support their community, then who's gonna take care of our, take care of us? So we need to take care of them so they can take care of us. And you might not need them right now. You may have never needed them. And the whole time you lived in Kirby, you may have never needed them. But by golly, when you do need them there for your family members or your child and an ambulance needs to get to you and the police have to escort them and they don't have the capability, who's gonna be the loss? So approve it and be done with it. They're using some of their money to do the painting of the vehicles, the alarm systems, and convert them into a police department vehicle. They're willing to take it out of their budget. So we need to take it out of this budget and approve it. Thank you much for listening to me.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. Would you please show that Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge was here at 6:27? All right, that includes citizens' participation. We will move to item six, the budget workshop. Discussion and direction on the proposed budgets for the fiscal year 2020-21.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Can you, Jerry, did you hear Tina?
I can hear a little of it.
Okay, I'll speak louder. Is that better?
Can you hear her there?
People are talking in the microphones, and it relates back to the speakerphone. There's too much garble in between. By the time I get to hear it.
Okay, we're going to have Tina move in closer so you can hear what she's saying, but still be able to tell the or the audience will still be able to hear up with this mic.
Okay, at this time, we do not have the tax calculation worksheet from Bexar County. So therefore, everything is preliminary as far as revenue on the revenue for the general fund. We are number 22 to get our results from Bexar County. They will not have them out until next week, so it's probably going to be mid or late next week before we even get our tax calculation worksheet. That worksheet is where we get a lot of our figures for the M&O and your INS figures from. Also, okay. M&O is maintenance and operation, and INS is interest and sinking fund. Because we have an interest and sinking fund, that is where your debt service comes from. And so we have to set aside money from your taxpayers to pay for that debt. And if you remember, we have a debt, which is the series 2018, which does we'll be doing the Ackerman Road project. So that's what the M&O and INS is. We did get our preliminary total from the appraisal district on the 25th, which is what's required by them. So again, the property tax calculation is very preliminary on this proposed budget at this time. Because of the new tax legislation that was passed last year, we'll have to wait and see what comes out on that. So again, the numbers can change. As far as the revenues at this point, I just put in what my worksheet that I would use normally in the past for the property tax in the city of San Antonio. So at this point right now, if it were to be correct, we would be collecting $2,460,568 in taxes. And then the city of San Antonio portion, because of the boundary adjustment, we had to pay 50%, would be $191,710. The only other thing I did at this time is the garbage franchise tax. I changed that to make it more actual, and that's $650. That is all the changes I made at this point. On the revenue for general fund, some of it I changed last time, so you won't see that shaded anymore. Going on to city council, I changed the FICA tax because last year budget, some people were getting their pay and some people weren't, so that increased it to where it should be, or should be about. So that's $600 that was changed on the FICA council. on the city administration on the salaries and benefits. What I did on that is made it to where it's more actual at the current wages that we are at this point. That is no pay increase as of yet. And of course, the number of employees to each department. I have a spreadsheet that I do, and it gives me the total of what our salary should be annually. So you'll see the changes on the admin salary, the overtime, the longevity. Longevity is always going to change from year to year because some employees, if you're here less than 36 months, you get 1.5. If it's more than 36 months to 72, it's 2.5, and anything over 72 months is 3% of your wages. So your longevity will change every year, so you'll see that on all of them. The insurance is, right now, we're still keeping it at the same rate that we're at. We will not get that total until next month. And then the retirement, for 2020, the retirement fee was 14.89%. For 2021, it's gonna go to 14.64%, so it's gonna go down. And that fluctuates all the time because of the people that are retired or what's coming up for retirement. So I changed all of those according to our salaries that we have and make it actual for the TMRS.
And for the insurance, even though we don't have those totals, you did say that our current provider is offering a pass, right, but we still have to go out for bids, yes. But at least we know that part.
Right.
But
our
they've already offered that.
They actually, our broker actually came in at like a 6% for the insurance came in at a 6% increase, and our broker negotiated down to 0% for the rate pass. But the law requires that we still bid it out, so we should have that.
On exactly what every benefit is right now for the insurance, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Only on the health, we still will get the proposals for the ancillary insurance, the vision, dental, and the life.
Okay.
But we don't anticipate those will be a huge change.
Right. Okay.
And one thing I will add is that, and this is something that we do need to discuss, our loss ratio went down significantly, and so that was one of the things that helped them to negotiate that rate pass, and so if your employees are healthy,
okay, so on the, that is all that I made changes to on the city administration. Moving to the police department, I did make the changes to the salaries, overtime, longevity, insurance and retirement, and FICA to our actual, to my actual spreadsheet. So all those are going back to what it should be. As you know, throughout the year, when we make budget amendments, sometimes we have to pull money from salaries to cover overtime. And so now I'm going back to what it should be. The only other thing I did was radio assets fee. That is because the city of San Antonio is going to go up on the radio assets fee. And it's $2 per radio. And so that has been noted. And so you'll see that change on the radio assets fee. Those are the only changes that were made on the police department at this time. The only thing on court we just have one person in the court plus the bailiff. So the only thing that I changed was the retirement because of our retirement rate going down. The fire department, I have changed the rates what it should be for all 25 employees. So you'll see the changes all along their salaries and benefit. And then, so to where it's more actual. Workman's comp is not changed on any of them because we don't have the rates yet from TML, and that's usually gonna be probably beginning of September when I get that. So that'll be at that time. Fire department has a radio, so they have a radio asset fee also. I just went down on it because if you're looking at the actual from last year, it was a little bit less than what we budgeted. So doing the calculation for the radio asset fee, I made it to where it's more actual. And that's including the rate increase as well. The police department has more radios than fire does. And that's all the changes that were done on fire.
So, Chief, on operational supplies for the fire, what does that include?
That increase for this coming year, there's the Zoom for Zoom meetings.
Not necessarily increase, but just what falls under what's considered operational supplies.
The Zoom meeting,
I'm only asking because as of July 31st, it's barely touched. I'm just trying to figure out what's actually in those.
It's typically things that, for example, things that they need for the facility that don't fall under medical supplies or building maintenance. So, for example, this fiscal year, we had to replace the dining room chairs. So that's something you purchase out of there. It's for the building, but it's not really building maintenance. Or if they need some type of supplies, like your janitorial supplies, what we do is like Public Works purchases janitorial supplies for all of the city, and they're divided up by the department, so that comes out of your operation in your department.
Copier comes out of there.
Yes.
Monthly contract with them. Okay, moving on to animal services. Again, you'll see all the changes from the salaries and benefit. In the past, we used to have 4 employees. We only have 3 now, and so I made that all more to actual with the salaries, overtime, and insurance, and so forth. So that's the only change. Also, you're going to see the radio asset fee change as well, but it's lowered instead of being higher. They only have 2 radios, so I fixed it to, even though it's a price increase, I fixed it to more actual for the animal services.
So as far as radios, we had talked before, since there's actually 3 employees, are the radios only for the ACOs that are traveling?
Yes.
All right. So if somebody's in the kennel, though, they have access to immediate
help,
yeah, basically.
They would just through the phone, they'll have the phone in the kennel. Like the radios is more for the field operations.
So those are the only changes on the animal services. The only changes that were made to parks, the salaries is the same as it's been. The only thing you're going to see difference is the insurance, the retirement, and of course the TWC taxes. So.
While we are discussing parks, I do want to bring up an expense that we will need to consider adding. Just this week, the ADA lift chair at the pool went out of service. I do not know how long we've had it.
be pool maintenance.
Maintenance.
25, 10.
We need to add that, because we will have to stay ADA compliant.
So how is it working now?
So, you know, right now for, you know,
well,
this
okay.
week,
sorry,
it's,
okay.
it's
I
not,
know it's not working. What
we're
are
not
you
able
doing
to accommodate to right now. And temporarily, that's okay, but you know, from the long term, we would not be able to continue that way.
And is it used frequently?
It has not been used frequently, but on occasion.
I mean, I think it's important for it to be there or to be operational. I was just curious if someone isn't being able to participate. Or
we haven't had that happen yet, but it's still very new.
So that's the only changes that were made to park. Moving on to street, there has been changes all the way across except for workman's comp. And there used to be 4 employees in that department, is now 2. So it's gonna be more actual from the 4 to 2 employees. Those are the only changes that were done to street.
Now, have we actually lost headcount, or were they transferred?
They were transferred. It was actually 3.5.
I just want everybody.
To be clear, there was a clerk that worked at City Hall that had dual function of water and permitting, which comes out of streets. So that person was paid 50/50. So that position actually was transferred 100% to water and is now just a water clerk. And then the third body that was in streets was actually transferred to water so that we have more hands on deck in the water department, which is the more immediate need. So they didn't lose any bodies.
Okay. But they are cross-trained so that each department is cross-trained so that if each department needs somebody, there's another body to actually help.
Yes, ma'am. And part of the rationale for doing that is that it helps us to have more licensed employees on the water side. They work on call weekends, so that just is a better benefit to have a more cross-training one.
So those are the only changes that were done on streets. At this point, this time, I didn't make any changes to the general operation on the budget meeting. So if we'll go on to water, the only change I made is a few items, and those are the salaries and benefits. As we were just talking about, we moved some people, a couple people from street to water, and so those salaries have been increased and moved over and to more accurate for the water side. Sewer line, manholes, and lift station was increased by, I believe it's 49,000. I just rounded it up, made it 65. And that is for the manhole and sewer line to be cleaned, because there's lots of sewer lines that need to be cleaned out. And so that's just an approximate figure to get those done. The other thing that were added are water pipe replacement. There's 2 of them. One of them is at Vinecrest, certain location, and then another water pipe replacement in Blue Jay. So there's two different amounts for those 2 water pipe replacement. I broke it down, but we may end up putting it together on the budget, but right now it's broken down by those 2 streets. We also have a sewer line replacement that needs to be done as well. And and it's approximately $250,000. It could be less. Again, these are a capital outlay because they are actually pipe replacement. They are not being just cleaned out. So if you're replacing something, that's where you're going to put in capital outlay. So those are the three changes that were made as far as capital outlay compared to the last meeting, because I weren't ready with those quotes just yet.
And then on the sewer line replacement for Gaiety, is that the entire street, I mean like the entire part of Gaiety?
I'm going to defer that to Michael.
On the sewer replacement for Gaiety, is that the entire street for Gaiety, or is it just a section?
No, ma'am, it is just one section.
Which side of it is? Is it by the yard,
well,
or
Government
is it?
Lane, south to, I don't remember the next street, ma'am, I apologize. Cinderella, maybe?
Sparkling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because if you go to Cinderella, you almost go all the way.
So those are the only street changes that water changes that I made. So not too much more from the last meeting, but some things that need to be done. There probably will be some more changes in the salary, just a little bit. One is because the longevity, for sure, that needs to be updated. I just updated that yesterday. But also, we're not talking about any increase at this time. I know we have a pay scale coming up, so that could change, depending on council. Okay, the only change, it's not the only change, but the change that we made, again, this is preliminary because we don't have the tax worksheet calculation worksheet yet. If this would be correct, right now I'm looking at $489,987 as far as debt service property tax revenue to come in. But again, this is very preliminary since I don't have that tax worksheet. And then as far as the expenditures, that is going to be the proposed budget, that's going to be our loan amount next year for the bond and the interest.
And the payment that was just made, or the payoff, there was one item that we were paying off.
Oh, this year, that's the,
yes.
Is it the street sweep?
Yeah. So that's not,
will be paid off.
Right, so it's not moving into this fiscal year, so that part won't be in here.
It's usually not. It's usually on the street budget.
Yeah, okay. This one is strictly for the series pump.
Okay.
Yeah. This is strictly the Ackerman Road project.
Thank you for joining us up here. more to come on that. If you do have any questions, please email, call Tina, Monique, come in, sit down with her to better understand if anybody has any questions with that. All right. We will move to item 7A, the public hearing. I will close. I will close our budget workshop public hearing special meeting at 6:55 and open the public hearing. Item 7A, on a request for a specific use permit on a property located at CB4018G, Springfield Industrial Park, Lot 5, otherwise known as 1448 Springfield Road, Kirby, Texas, 78219, which is zoned light industrial, to be used for the following purpose: parking company trucks, there's three in parentheses, storing equipment and tools in 2 20-by-8-foot storage containers, performing oil changes and some mechanical work on company vehicles, storage of asphalt and concrete materials from projects. Future use will be to construct a building. This public hearing is for anyone who wishes to speak. Council will have a chance to ask questions during our discussion item. So if anybody in the audience would like to stand up and speak now on this item, please take the podium.
Council, as we've dealt with a lot of these properties before, I think there's a lot of questions that need to be answered before we allow all this to go through. We need to make sure that if they are storing vehicles and they're using them to park trucks, that number one, there's no hazardous material, and that the trucks aren't coming in and out, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, that they have a good set of hours. I'm not too fond of the idea of them just storing material. I mean, number one, I want to make sure that material doesn't have any type of anything in it that may cause any issues or any issue like that. As we start to build up stuff back there, we realize that that they start to flood the back of some neighbors' houses and stuff, and we still have the issue where nothing back there has any drainage to alleviate any of that yet. So I think that we should consider all that stuff prior to making a decision to allow it to happen. Thank you.
If y'all want to speak now, just to let everybody know what it is, you're welcome to, but we'll come back to you anyway during the discussion item, so you can, if you want to...
Sure, we'll wait.
I'm just saying, if you want to say now, just so that if anybody in the audience isn't sure what's going on, then y'all can answer those questions for them, and then we'll just ask you guys questions once it comes on the discussion.
So basically, we're partners...
Would you state your name for the record, please?
Kaiser, I'm the owner of BK Paving, and this is my partner, Arturo Rodriguez. And so basically, we're requesting this certificate for occupancy. We just started this business. It is an asphalt paving business. And I guess we'll get back to the questions, correct, ma'am? Or do you want me to answer some of the questions now?
If you want to answer some of the questions that came up for them, that's fine. We just can't answer you questions right now.
So the first thing I'll say about the question of the materials is it's all it's aggregate materials. There's no hazardous materials in the product that we would be stockpiling on site. The hazardous materials we use on the job site. Obviously, we use that on the road. The oil gets used on the road. Nothing gets stockpiled or left in the back. The other thing I want to say about the drainage is we have a silt fence. We've established a silt fence all the way around the property. In the back of the property, there is a drainage ditch that has been cut into, from what I have seen, what I'm aware of. Both adjacent properties on either side of us have the same ditch that has been cut and alleviates water and does not go straight to the subdivision in the back behind our property. And even before that, we have our silt fence going there for erosion control. We have a SWPP plan that's in process right now, but obviously We've already done everything that we need to as far as the SWPP plan, which is erosion control. We have the rock filter bags in that drainage ditch on each side. We put the rock filter bags to filter any kind of aggregate or anything that would possibly flood or drain to the adjacent properties. As far as the hours of work, we very rarely will work at night. And if we do, we work on the road at night. We don't work on the property at night. So if we're there, we're only there for a limited period of time. It's to gather our vehicles, gather our tools, and hit the road. Some nights we will get off the road by 7 o'clock or 8, and we may roll in there around 9:30 or 10, just a little bit past 9. I have yet to see one single time that we've ever been there past 10 o'clock. And we have, since we started our company 2.5 years ago, we have yet to work a night job. So, and when we do have days that come rain days or something, we work from 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock at the yard, and that's it. Nothing outside of that. We have a fence all the way around. That's pretty much all I got.
Thank you. All right, is there anybody else who wishes to speak on this item? If so, you're just more than welcome to walk up to the podium. All right, we will close the public hearing on item 7A at 7:01. And I will open the public hearing for item 7B on a request for variances to the regulations in section 153.016 of the Code of Ordinances for the Single Family Dwelling District R1, one, to permit a garage on an existing slab to occupy an area within the minimum depth of rear setback of 20% of lot depth, to permit a corner side setback of less than 15 feet, to permit building coverage as a percentage of lot area of more than 50%, and four, to permit an accessory building coverage of rear yard of more than 30%, each for the property located at Lot 20, Block 25, CB4018B, commonly known as 4803 Scott Carpenter, Kirby, Texas, 78219. If there's anyone who wishes to speak on this item, please take the podium.
We'll wait for the discussion.
Okay. All right, anybody? Want to make sure everybody has a chance. All right, we will close the public hearing on item 7B at 7:03. I will reconvene our budget workshop public hearing special meeting of Thursday, July 30th, 2020 at 7:03 p.m. We will move to item 8A, discussion and possible action on a request for a specific use permit on a property located at CB4018G, Springfield Industrial Park, Lot 5, otherwise known as 1448 Springfield Road, Kirby, Texas, 78219, which is zoned light industrial, to be used for the following purpose: parking company trucks for a total of 3, storing equipment and tools in 2 20-by-8 storage containers, performing oil changes and some mechanical work on company vehicles, storage of asphalt and concrete materials from projects. Future use will be to construct a building. On July 15th, just for background, on July 15th, 2020, the Planning and Zoning Commission conducted a public hearing and then discussed this request. Mr. Rodriguez at that time had said the hours of operation would be 7 a.m. to either 8 or 9 p.m. That he would comply with EPA regulations regarding changing oil, and the commissioners voted 4-0 in favor of allowing this specific use permit. So their recommendation to City Council from PNZ is to allow the specific use permit. I will open the floor for discussion.
So
But what have they done about drainage back there? Not just them in particular, but the whole area.
If you want, if y'all want to come up that way, you don't have to keep going up and down. Do you want to?
Yeah, well, and I guess just to kind of add to that, so as far as that drainage is concerned, the developer is responsible for that. So if we're dealing with that as a separate issue, they're only responsible for the SWIP on their property, which okay. He did say they have that inquiry right now. I think so we review by our engineers
okay.
On that piece.
They just have a lot of problems back there.
Yeah. There is a drainage ditch on the property, and then there behind it, it backs straight up to the, but it looks like the developer or whoever had built those lots made that swell, I guess it is in the back.
Yeah, and then.
It's just not complete.
And,
it's
right.
Supposed to go all the way to the
end. It's your neighbor down.
Yeah, and there's still a problem of water buildup back
and,
there.
And that, if I may, to the issue of maybe potentially somebody hearing something at in the middle of the night, our neighbor does have a 24-hour operation. He's a trucking company, so he's running all the time. So I don't know if that possibly.
I want that on record. Nobody in that area has a certificate of occupancy, which is nobody's supposed to be doing anything. So.
Well, I haven't seen him in a long time. That might be why.
Yeah.
So.
How are you storing your material?
So it's aggregate, so it's just stockpile. It's a little bit, the asphalt part of it is reclaimed asphalt. It's not hot mix asphalt. So anything that comes off the road has no bituminous material in it, which that's the hazardous material. It has no bituminous material in it. It's turned back to a aggregate virtually. The other materials we would store is base material, which is just aggregate. And that's pretty much it. I mean, we don't even have a stockpile right now. It's just, we have spread base on what's there because it was just mud and dirt. But other than that, we don't really have too much stockpiles right now besides a little bit of millings.
So if you're allowed to do this and you have your stockpile, and if we have a big storm and high winds, how are you going to stop your material from reaching into the residents' yards and covering their houses?
So we do not allow our stockpiles to go above 6 feet. And our silt fence is roughly, you know, the property is kind of depressed. So it, and the millings doesn't have, it's very heavy. It doesn't have a lot of silt in it or sand. Oh. And a lot of the, if it rains, I mean, it's like concentrated. I mean, it doesn't flake off. It doesn't.
Well, a lot of times we get wind before rain. That's what I'm concerned with.
Right, right. And it's very heavy material is what I'm getting at. It's not like sand or that maybe the base might have some, but that's the same as if we had a stockpile of dirt. I mean, it's a raw material. So as far as wind blowing to prevent the stockpile from maybe causing a little bit of dust, we can try to water it down every day. I mean, that's the other thing. We don't have access to water on the property,
right.
To moisture condition the stockpile. That would be one of the reasons for the water as well.
Exactly the same question I was going to ask.
And would you, I know that they talked about it at P&Z, but that was, one of the concerns. Would you just explain about the mechanical work that you guys
It's very little. So we have mechanic shops that we usually take our vehicles to, our equipment to, if it gets extensive. We don't have a cover, so obviously in Texas you don't want to be working on stuff out in the open. As of right now, it's just light traffic vehicle or light vehicle oil changes. I mean, oil pan, and we dispose of it at the mechanic shop that lets us, we pay a small fee and he takes our recycled oil. We don't have a mechanic on site that works all day at the yard or anything. It's very, very minor.
And as far as the two storage boxes on the lot to place the equipment, would you like to elaborate why y'all are asking for that?
The storage units are for hand tools, small engines, small engine tools like blowers, leaf blowers, stuff like that, that we have already been vandalized once before. Someone cut our fence and took all of our small engine items and all of our hand tools and our cones and everything else. So the next day we moved those storage containers on there to protect our assets.
I just wanted everybody to know why those were there, why they were asking for those there.
And if I may also, our plan is to, when we do have to do small oil changes or something like that, is to put a small, they make those half circle covers that attach to each side. That's the plan right now. That's the immediate plan. The future plan, obviously, is to maybe one day, that's 5-6 years down the road, to build a office there.
So if you had to say how many oil changes, how many
we have three vehicles.
Changes.
Yeah, we have three vehicles. We try to do them as much as we can. Our regular service, obviously, we don't, we're not able to do that in the busy season. I would definitely say one vehicle every month for sure.
And you're going to keep records of the disposal of the oil and?
Yes. Yeah, we have. The mechanic that we use is in Converse, okay. And we, you know, when we do all our oil changes, we have a deal with him that he takes all our old oil and.
Well, we're just making sure because there's a lot of runoff in that property, and the oil starts running off of there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Everybody's going to know, but that's why I'm asking. Are you going to keep record of it?
Yes. Yep.
And I think there was possibly a misunderstanding as far as the hours of operation, because I think when Mr. Rodriguez was at PNZ, he mentioned 9 p.m. But even though PNZ had said, you know, yes to approve the to move it to council for the specific use, there was a thought that there was actually going to be, you know, a lot of noise happening at, you know, till 9 p.m. behind those houses. Mm-hmm. So you've actually cleared that up. There's not actually someone going to be there. Y'all are actually off site.
Right. Yes, ma'am. And because if we're working during the day, can't work into the night. So it might roll into where we, that's probably why Mr. Rodriguez had said that it may run to 9, because of the possibility that we get those random ones. If we do work at night, we got to be on the road by, we have to be working by 9 o'clock. So we're out of the yard by 7 p.m. And then we're not back to the yard till 7 in the morning. So it's kind of rule of thumb. Daytime, it's going to be 7 to 7, you know, leaving at 7, coming back at 7. Nighttime, leaving at 7 p.m., coming back at 7 a.m.
And then as far as the upkeep of the yard, I'm sure that you've seen code compliance go through there. I think y'all have had conversations with our code compliance officer. So that's another thing that we'll need to make sure that if this passes, that you guys aren't working until there is actually a certificate of occupancy actually in your hand. But also that the yard, at least y'all's part, is kept so that there isn't citations issued at this point. Just because of prior experience, I mean, the residents, the city, they've had enough with everything that's going on back there. It stemmed from several lots. However, that's just something that nobody wants to have to address again. It's just now coming to a place where the residents are able to actually see their backyards again. So we definitely don't want that. There was actually a resident that's actually located behind y'all's lot that did have some concerns, and I believe, have we heard back from Josie, or is all of hers? We haven't had any other concerns from Josie? Okay.
And we have had the code compliance come by and tell us about the grass. And I will say it has gotten away from us a couple times. You know, you get those rains and a week goes by and that grass grows 3 feet, seems like. But we have been staying on top of it. You know, we have guys that, like I said, any day that we don't work, we're improving the yard.
Yeah.
You know, we're cleaning the yard. We're, you know, if there's the rain tells a big story. If we hit a if we see a spot that has negative drainage, we try to improve positive drainage and stuff like that. Same thing why we put the silt fence up and the filter bags and everything else.
And has our engineer firm acknowledged your SWIP? I mean, have they actually acknowledged that they received and y'all are just waiting on them now?
I believe we are waiting for our SWPP plan to come back.
That's what I'm saying. So it's actually with the engineering firm right now for review?
No, it has not. We are getting our, I have an engineer doing ours, and I need to have it in my hand so I can hand it to them.
Okay, so you haven't submitted it to Givler yet?
No, ma'am, not
yet.
You're
waiting for it.
Yes, it's taken forever for these guys.
Do you know what the estimate, have they given you a time?
I mean, we did this before the last hearing, so that was 2 weeks ago, so it should be any day now. I can definitely check tomorrow and see what the progress on it is.
Because that is one of the requirements for that property as well, to be even able to start. Even if this is, you know, the specific use, there still has to be the certificate of occupancy, but all of those boxes have to be checked before anything can happen over there.
Right.
Otherwise, you'll be met with.
And we have to put the SWPP plan up in the front of the property and everything on the board, right? Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
Monique, do you have any?
No, those were addressed. Those would be the only things with the code compliance maintenance. Stay on top of that.
And the other thing I had, since the city actually has a situation right now with the developer, I just wanted to make sure that if this actually moves forward, that business wouldn't be impacted.
We did confirm that.
Okay, so it would not. All right.
Okay. Appreciate that.
All right. Does anybody else have any questions?
Mayor, I make a motion that we approve the specific use permit at the property located at CB 4018G Springfield Industrial Park, Lot 5.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Apodakis, seconded by, I guess, Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, but I also heard Councilmember Pierce for a second. Is there any further discussion?
I thought we were going to wait for the engineer, our engineer.
We don't have to do that part. They just can't get the COO.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Any further discussion?
No.
Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, your specific use has been approved. Please take in consideration everything that was spoken about this evening so that we don't have to revisit this again.
Take care of your neighbors.
Yep, absolutely.
Wait.
Thank you so much.
Let's go ahead.
Correct.
And
the ordinance will identify what we've discussed.
Okay, perfect.
So you have one more, two more. Meetings.
Oh, yes, there is two more.
For the ordinance. We have an ordinance. Now that this has been approved and accepted by the council,
yes,
now we have an ordinance that we have to pass.
Okay.
And the ordinance will identify what was spoken this evening.
Okay.
So, and it takes two readings for an ordinance.
That'll give us some time to get the SWPP
okay, perfect.
Submitted to the engineer and get it approved and all that.
But in the meantime, since there's been rain, if you can just make sure that your lot is free of grass and debris.
Can I ask, we're still allowed to come and go, just don't work? Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
That is true, yes. But if
maintenance on the property.
On the property.
Just maintenance. Just code compliance.
Correct, yes, you can mow the grass and those, but you can't change your oil, you can't start, yes, correct.
Yeah, we'll stay.
Or you can fix the drainage, also you can work on.
Yes.
Got it.
All right.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, y'all can go. Thank you for attending and answering questions this evening.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, we will move to item 8B, discussion and possible action on a request for variances to the regulations in section 153.016 of the Code of Ordinances for the Single Family Dwelling District, R1, to permit a garage on existing slab to occupy an area within the minimum depth of rear setback of 20% of lot depth. Number two, to permit a corner side setback of less than 15 feet. Number three, to permit building coverage as a percentage of lot area of more than 50%. And four, to permit an accessory building coverage of rear yard of more than 30%, each for the property located at Lot 20, Block 25, CB4018B, commonly known as 4803 Scott Carpenter, Kirby, Texas. Mr. Lamnack is requesting a variance to the rear setback, corner lot setback, and maximum building coverage of the rear yard. He constructed a concrete slab last year with the understanding that there would not be a structure built on it. The plans that were approved indicate that the slab is not approved to zoning or structural use. Mr. Lamanac provided the purpose of his request on his application. He submitted pictures of other properties in the area with structures close to the property. Mr. Avery, I believe, is a representative, will be answering questions as well. Back up with PNZ. On July 15, 2020, the PNZ Commission conducted a public hearing and then discussed the request. Their concern was the size of the structure, and because of storing antique vehicles, there will be fuel and other flammables in the building. The building would be in the setback and potential fire hazard. A fire, this was PNZ's comments, a fire could jump from one building to the next. The commissioners voted three to deny the variance. One commissioner had to abstain since he resides within the 200 feet of the property. The recommendation from PNZ Commission is to deny this variance request. And I would like, before discussion starts, I would like to keep in mind for council that if council overrides the declination of PNZ, that we would have to have a supermajority. So that would mean that at least six council members would have to vote yes to overturn PNZ. And that is why the confusion was earlier. We wouldn't have had those individuals. So please go ahead.
What you said that fuel would be stored in it. It's like a regular garage, like you park your car in. Nobody keeps fuel in their garage.
That was what PNZ, so.
I understand that, yes. But that's not correct. I mean, if you drive your car in your garage, it's got fuel in it.
Do you want to back up and just tell the whole story?
Well, no, if you want to ask questions from what you were saying, I mean.
Well, actually, that was just a summary from PNZ.
Is build a garage on the back side of this house, and so he can use it to put his old cars in. And so we've been after this since December. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's not like he's gonna be working on people's cars and charging for it. It's his own personal vehicle.
No, it's not gonna be a business.
It's his own vehicle, his own cars.
And y'all have, council does have pictures too.
I mean, the structure will be built to match the house. It's not going to deter from it. It's not old rusty shed or anything like that. It's going to look exactly like the house looks. It's on a corner lot. It'll look nice.
Yeah. Jerry, can you hear?
Yeah, I can hear you. Not too much far.
Okay. I just want to make sure that you had the information.
Yeah, I've my daughter's tried to explain the pictures to me, and she said it looked like he's covering darn near the whole dadgum corner lot. And what was said a minute ago, that he wanted to put garages on there so that he could rebuild antique cars.
No,
lot that I would love to get rid of, and that's all that he's got in his property is antique cars, and become a dadgum junkyard. Y'all know how I feel about us expanding property and putting more garages on.
Okay, so just to clarify, there won't be any rebuilding of the antique cars. It's just to store, to house the antique cars, to keep them away from the elements. So there wouldn't be any rebuilding. I just wanted just to let you know.
And if the cars are in the, Jerry, if the cars are in the garage, you won't see them.
That's what they say now.
The cars are in the garage, you ain't seeing them.
Okay.
Voice my opinion, and we'll see what the rest of the council says.
Okay.
Well, I kind of agree that just because you park a car in a garage, that doesn't mean that car's not going to have a short and start a fire and then jump amongst the other residents. I mean, that's exactly what happened in JD's shop.
Yeah, Ford had the cruise control switch.
Yeah, on the Ford Explorer, yeah.
On 2000.
And these cars are older.
Mr. Laminek, do you want to just explain what cars you're going to be keeping in there?
What I'm
or Mr. To Avery, whichever one wants to speak. Just whichever one.
Like some pre-60, in the 60 model cars?
No. Yeah.
Or 70.
It's a 72 Nova and a 72 Chevy C10.
That's it.
Well, it's two cars.
Well, actually, that's over 30 years old, so they're still antique. I mean, they're classic, 25 years.
Yeah. Did you hear that, Jerry? There's two cars.
There's two cars?
Yes, it's two cars, a 70, I'm sorry.
72 Nova.
And a 72 C10.
A 72 Nova and a 72 C10. That's what would be housed in that garage. I just wanted you to know it wasn't a plethora of cars. It's two vehicles.
Okay.
Just so that you can get a better idea while we're speaking about it.
I mean, if you're treasuring these cars so much, why don't you put them in storage instead of just leaving them there?
Well, if you want to take them out and go drive them, you got to go to storage and go get them.
Well, that's why you get a storage.
But if you want to tinkle with it, if you want to, change the gauges, maybe change the oil, you're there at the house. You don't have to.
Oh, yes.
So I'm just curious. I know the concrete slab was put in how long ago? I guess a couple of years.
Yeah.
So at that time, the intent was that just to sit the cars on the slab and not?
No, that was to eventually build the garage.
Okay. That was always the intention.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shows here the slab wasn't approved for zoning for structural use.
Yeah, the slab wasn't approved for a building structure on there, right? No, it was not.
So, either way, there's...
Well, okay, one other question, but when we got the permit for the slab and they went out and inspected it, it was overbuilt. The slab was actually overbuilt to support a building.
It may have, but that's not what...
Patty, can you elaborate?
When the permit was issued...
Patty, sorry, can you talk?
When the permit was issued, the question was asked, do you plan on putting a structure on the building? And you said no. So on the permit, I specifically wrote, there will not be a structure on this slab. That's
said that?
That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, okay, well, I didn't know that because I thought I told him that, you know,
that
I was...
Our immediate concern is that it's that you have this huge slab and there wasn't going to be any...
But it doesn't obvious. Say that on the permit.
It does say that on the permit. It's at the very top. I made sure it was on there.
I have to look at that.
I don't think it is.
Well, we'll look at it and see. I mean, I don't know. Because, you know, at the time I was talking about it, I thought I had made it clear that I was going to build on it. And the question that I brought up was, you know, would this one permit cover it? And I was told no. I had to get a permit for the slab and then a separate permit for the building. That was the way, I mean, that's the way I understood it.
I mean, it's poured with 12 by 18 inch beams, H beams that run all through the slab, and it's 4.5 inches thick.
Well, that would have to be inspected after it was done.
Yes, no, it was inspected before.
So right now what we're going off is what the city is advising us and what our zoning and commission is advising us. So we, even if we try to do this right now, we can't. I'd suggest that we go ahead and postpone this until we get it on term.
But we don't have to have another public hearing, correct?
No.
So can you pull that permit just so that everybody is on the same page?
Mayor, make a motion we postpone this.
Do you want to? We can get it now, but we'll still have to table it until, right? Okay. Well, if we table it, it will be the next meeting. If you postpone it, it will be until that information, but Patty says that she can get that information.
I make a motion we table this in the next council meeting.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Salazar to table this item until our August 13th meeting.
Does it still need six members to overturn that?
And we can get with Ms. Patty on the permit? Okay.
We're not overturning it. We're just tabling the item to talk about later. But, oh, but yes.
The 13th, you
yes,
would still need
13th,
six.
Yes, we would still need
yeah,
six.
Yeah, if we overturn the
yes.
Yeah.
Y'all have fun.
Yeah. All right. Jerry, did you hear that? There is a motion made and seconded to table this item until August 13th for additional information.
Okay.
All right. If there's no further discussion, will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Abinaga?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, so on August 13th, this item will come back, and then that way it'll give you all an opportunity to look at the permit, and then everybody can be on the same page. Thank you very much for attending.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that thought that was funny.
Every time someone talks, Jerry, William has to spray the podium, and it's just kind of comical. All right, we will move to item 8C, discussion and possible action on the Benzingelman Road reconstruction project. The city staff, Ford Engineering, TxDOT, and SAC met on July 24th to discuss the current status of the project, and our city manager, Monique, will provide an update.
So in our meeting, we addressed a couple of different things. The first one was the non-compliance with the DEE subcontractor, which we had mentioned last meeting. And what that is because this was a federally funded project, federally funded grant project, it was through the Metropolitan Planning Organization.
Jerry, can you hear Monique?
A little bit. Go ahead.
Okay, she's going to talk louder.
So Benzingelman was funded through a Metropolitan Planning Organization grant, and those are federal funds. So there was a percentage of subcontractors that had to meet their DEE requirements of being small, veteran, women, or minority-owned businesses. And the contractor that they had for that project, we were informed by SAC that the contractor walked off the job and went bankrupt lots of excuses. So the that was that one issue. So right now, we have an invoice from them that we have not paid because I wanted to make sure it did not jeopardize any of our future funding reimbursements for them being in non-compliance in that area. So hopefully they will get that part worked out. The second issue that we discussed with them was meeting the deadline to complete this project, which was July 31st. And that was to be end of phase seven so that they could go back and use the remaining time to strike the bike lanes and the road from phase one through seven. But we know realistically that is not going to happen as tomorrow is July 31st. So what they were requesting was SAC general manager was there on Friday, and what he requested was the usual, allow them to go on to phase seven so that they would be working on finishing five and six and doing seven all at the same time. And I informed them that I do not think that request was going to be approved, and so best case scenario would be for them to finish what they are doing up to phase six, go back and address the deficiencies in phase four, where there are the ponding issues, and then also our public works director pointed out a couple of other areas in, was it one and two, or two and three?
Two and three, if I recall.
Okay, so in two and three to address those as well, and then go ahead and do the striping so that we would at least, before the end of the timeline or even of the fiscal year, at least get that portion completed. So my biggest question to TxDOT was, is there a way that we basically complete this project without any financial risk to the city as far as the grant? So they did inform me that if we wanted to change order out phase seven, we would not be at any financial risk of the prior grant reimbursement that we received. But there are a couple of things that we would need to be mindful of, so it's totally the city's decision. So the one thing they said is, if that happens, we're basically terminating our contract early. We're not going to use that language because that gets us into some more trouble, but we would be change ordering out the final phase. And if we did that, of course, with SAC's history, there is a possibility that they would just walk off the job. Secondly, they have the ability to come back and say, because the contract ended ahead of where the project was scheduled to end, they lost X amount of dollars, and they may try to pursue legal action to recoup whatever amount of money they feel they have lost. That's always an option. And then the other thing they said, we would have to explain to the FBO what our plan is to complete the connectivity of that project, and if we, in fact, were going to fund the, doing phase seven at a later date. So one of the things that Mark Hill from Ford Engineering and I determined is that the connectivity is there, so we still meet the requirements because it was a pedestrian grant. It was, put the bike lanes and sidewalks. Because we have the Ackerman project coming and it will have bike lanes, this project, if we decide to end it at that Ackerman intersection, the bike lanes continue from Benzinga on to Ackerman, so that is still a pedestrian connectivity, so we're okay in that area. We did look at how much money remains to complete the rest of phase seven, and it's about $374,000. So that faces us with the reality that, in the next one, two, three potential fiscal years, that would not be completed. So we need to make a decision. Are we prepared to say, yes, we want to change order out in this project at the Ackerman-Benzinga intersection? The other thing that we would not get is this was going to be a joint project with SAWS for phase seven because they were going to do some handhold relocation and utility work there. So they would not, of course, move forward on doing that.
And there's no chance of CDBG because there for that because there's no housing that goes from the VFW to for the boat shop to the
right. So it would not qualify for the low to moderate income.
Correct.
So what would happen if we don't do the change order?
If we don't do the change order, we continue to live the way we have been living, and we just let them work until they finish. And
Is that something, if we have to do an additional audit, though, is that something that's billable back to SAC because they're the ones that
caused it?
And did TxDOT have any opinion one way or the other? I mean, clearly they lied to TxDOT, so.
They did. I mean, even at the meeting, you know, they tried to take the approach that TxDOT hasn't been as helpful as they should have been, and all these different things. And forward.
Oh, boo-hoo.
It was everybody's fault but their own. And so, you know, TxDOT's thing was they understand our frustration. They, you know, understand if we want to change over route phase 7. But they also know that, you know, you wouldn't be able to reapply for that money through MDO because, of course, they're going to use that and say, well, you had the money and you basically gave it back. So why would you?
And then even continuing on to, even if it was to September 30th, even if we just said, okay, let it roll, there could be a potential that they stop or walk off or, again, don't have anything finished, and then that's right there between Ackerman to Foster, right there at the park, with a road that's completely torn up. Or, I mean, although it's in disarray right now, but
yeah. The two issues with that is one, you know, if they walk off the job, then it's on them. They terminate the contract on their end, and then, you know, they're liable for that. That gets us out of it. Yes, if they do want a street is torn up, that's a problem. But then we have the ability to rebid it out, go through the bond company. Contractor, of course, that can take some time. The other concern is that the Ackerman project is set to start construction mid to end of October, so that would be a nightmare if both were torn up. However, we have the ability to phase the Ackerman project the way we see fit, so we could, you know, start at the other end and they would be finished before it hits that section. One of the options we're dealing with.
So what is your suggestion? I'm just saying, since y'all are have it from a budget aspect, and how much is an audit? So if we had to do another audit.
I think we need to continue, let them continue going.
The two, or it won't get done?
To finish at least this one portion, and then when they finish the one portion of Benzingelman, then go ahead and cross over. Now, if they decide to end over here, we're not going to be at a loss at all. But, you know, even though we're going to be having to recontract out, you know, I think just let them keep going. I mean, we've gone this long. We don't need to be doing that.
I mean, and honestly, it's really difficult. I don't, from just a staff standpoint, it's a nightmare. I don't want to continue on after the cost of the fiscal year, but it would be difficult for me to say that I recommend change ordering it out and giving up $350,000+
that we'll probably never see again.
So I really can't in good faith make that recommendation. But, you know, my thing is, if we do continue on, we are going to have to, from our own personal stress standpoint, not beat this project every meeting because I don't see anything changing.
Right.
So I feel like we're going to let it continue. Let's just let it finish. You know, we'll continue to do our part with walkthroughs and the 10-day notices if it comes to that point.
My general consensus is to keep going as well, but I would like to a final recap on August 13th just so that we can all be on the same page as far as what transpired from tonight, well, actually from tomorrow, because we know that that's supposed to be their day, which we know they're not going to be done. And then that way, that's 2 weeks to give an idea of what's happened or transpired. And I don't know, maybe a miracle will happen and they'll actually have subcontractors. But is there anything that, since they misled TxDOT, is there anything that TxDOT's going to do that would, you know, to come back with them?
No, the only thing, you know, is that they said they're actually trying to help them by trying to get the paperwork signed by that prior subcontractor to at least count for that much work to get them closer to their required percentage, that it will be their responsibility to find the rest. Now, if they don't meet that requirement, then they just jeopardize some of the money. So it'll be work that they'll have to do themselves.
So even if they don't find a contractor that meets that criteria, it doesn't affect the monies that the city.
Right.
Okay. But because they know that they may not get paid, they could very well just walk off. And at that point, we can go to the surety bond, although it's a long process, as everybody knows, that was involved with Kirby Drive. But at that point, then we would be able to rebid it at least through that way.
Yes.
Would that cost us more than $20,000?
Striping is important because the whole project literally was a walk, you know, for the bikes. It was a bike trail piece of it, and then there's nothing. I mean, I still see people driving like head on because there's no striping there, and that imaginary line, people cross that imaginary line that separates it. So I definitely think that the striping is something that at least needs to be done before they move forward. And that doesn't require them to deconstruct or tear up anything, so.
The only tearing up, they'll have to go back and fix that ponding issue that will cost some tearing up. Of course, they ask, well, we'd like to come back and do that at the end.
No.
No.
We want you to do that now.
Right.
Yep.
It will never get done.
When the end is.
And is it just on that phase or the other phases that
I think he had something else on the other two.
Yeah, it was initially
that's
on
what I mean,
phase four because TxDOT had actually taken photos and that was, you know, addressed in writing twice through their inspection. You know, those additional items that Michael since identified are still covered under the warranty and the punch list, so we can still require them to go back and do that. So we can say that. We can say we want you to go ahead and finish up to six, then go back one through six, take care of all of the deficiencies and stripe before you can start seven.
And I've heard that I would prefer that because that means that they have to have everything from one to six before they even start seven. So at least one through six, regardless of what happens, one through six would be completed.
I agree.
But I would give her a little bit more time. I don't think we need to bring it up in the next meeting. Give her a little bit more time so she can have more
input. I just want August 13th because there's going to be some conversation. So I just want August 13th just to be said exactly what's going to happen moving forward. And then if anything dynamic happens, then you can, you know, enlighten us about.
You could tell us when we got the stripes.
Exactly. And have they been working?
So, Michael, you want to provide an update on just where they are now? Because I think they've been working.
Yes, ma'am, they have been working. I'm pretty sure you all drive through there or in that area with a fair amount of regularity. You can all, I'm sure, attest to the confusion That's my personal opinion.
Okay.
That's all that is.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Any other questions?
That's if it doesn't rain this weekend.
And then just, you know, my last thing I'll just add, I think I mentioned this before, but you know, they are still paying $250 a day in liquidated damages. I think they're about $80,000 worth right now. And additionally, we do have the ability to withhold the retainage when they do finally get to completion, which helps enforce them to complete all the warranty items within a year after the project. So that's some leverage we have. It helps in that that is going to be a savings to our budget, and that you know, we budgeted that, and they're basically losing that money. So we'll work on those calculations to put into our draft budget for next year as well.
All right. Okay, is there any other questions regarding Ben Zingelman? All right, item 8D, discussion and possible action on a proposed 2020 property tax rate.
I'm just gonna ask if we would table this item to next meeting since we don't have the tax rate information.
I will entertain a motion to table till August 13th.
I'm gonna put a motion to
table it. Make a motion to retable it.
Let him go.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Lehman.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Salazar to table this item on the proposed 2020 property tax rate until our August 13th meeting. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Yes.
Mayor Pierce.
Yes. All right, so that item will be on our August 13th agenda. With there being no further business, I will move to item 9 for adjournment. We will adjourn our meeting at 7:54. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Bye, Jerry.
Good luck for the meeting.